and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in lovely Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, happy anniversary to you and I.
Happy birthday, Rob. Our show turns 10 years old today, show 195.
Yes.
Started in January of 2010, and we talked about copper.
Copper, indeed. And boy, oh boy, what a great ride ever since, Mickey. A decade-long show. Who would have thunk it? I certainly would not have 10 years ago. For this 10th anniversary edition of the show, though, Mickey, we're looking at a huge story right now on the global stage right now. It's making headlines all over the place. And that, of course, is the coronavirus, the World Health Organization, now declaring this to be a global health emergency. This virus is continuing to spread. The death toll is rising. And, Mickey, this is having an impact on the markets, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, especially on the commodities markets. But let's review a bit what a coronavirus is. It's just a new type of the flu at this stage. And coronaviruses are represented by the common cold. So, to me, the panic right now is simply that and without a lot of evidence at this stage.
Okay, so we've certainly been down this road before, though, haven't we? So lay out a bit of a history lesson for us.
Well, if you look at the history of these crises, started with the bird flu in 1997 in Hong Kong. That killed a bunch of chickens and geese and turkeys and not much more. We got SARS in 02, 03 in 7 months. Killed about 775 people and then disappeared from the planet. We had MERS in 2010, 2,800 cases, 880 fatalities. And finally, the Ebola crisis in 2013, 2016 in Western and Central Africa killed about 11,000 people. But these things tend to be panics fed by the media. There's three things that I see that drives these things. The mainstream media needs a narrative, a crisis narrative. They used to call that a story. Now it's a narrative. The World Health Organization, a part of the UN, needs these crises to generate funds and support its bureaucracy. And finally, the market speculators need volatility to game the market. For instance, the volatility index spiked to 18 early this week, and that's its high since early October.
I guess what makes this certainly a significant story, though, from a market point of view, is the fact, Mickey, that this is centered in China. That's where it all began. And, when SARS first came on the stage 17 years ago, China at that time was about 6% of GDP. Today it accounts for a lot more, about 16% of the global economy. So what happens in China really does impact on the global market, doesn't it, because of the size and weight of the Chinese economy?
Well, that's certainly true. So from an overreaction, which I think this is at this stage, it's currently 7,800 cases, 170 deaths, not much different than the average number of deaths in any wintertime flu that we have. Let's put it in perspective. Every year, about 25 million people catch the flu in the U.S., and on average, 36,000 people die. So it's a new virus. It's a new kind of thing. Once again, it's been transmitted from bats to some other mammal and then to humans. Historically, that can go from bats to civet cats, bats to camels. This one is bats to some sort of wildlife sold in a live animal market for food in China. So that's part of the sort of exacerbation, hyperbole that occurs in these things. But really, it is a threat that it will go from the Chinese economy, which no doubt will be affected. 56 million people quarantined in China right now, and spread to the global economy, and finally, maybe even the U.S. stock market.
Right. Well, certainly the reaction to this, Mickey, we've seen Russia close its borders with China. We've seen many airlines eliminate or drastically reduce the number of flights they are operating into China. We've seen companies with operations in China cut back on their operations there. So certainly this is playing out on the economy. We're going to take a quick break, Mickey, and when we come back, we're going to look at how commodities have reacted to all this, okay?
Okay, Rob.
Mercenary Musings Radio provides you with insight into commodities, exploration, and mining investment. But did you know we can deliver a whole lot more and it won't cost you a penny? Sign up for free to Mickey Fulp's newsletter and you'll gain exclusive access to his stock picks via his timely alerts. You'll also get thought-provoking commentary in Mickey's Mercenary Musings, weekly notification of interviews, videos, and special invitations to his speaking engagements. Become a more successful investor by signing up today at mercenarygeologist.com. Continuing our discussion on the potential impact or the impact that we're seeing right now from the coronavirus and its impact on commodities, Mickey, with China accounting for about 50% of copper usage, perhaps no surprise at all that copper's getting hit.
Well, no surprise, but I think the way it has gotten hit is surprising. It's gapped down 10% since January 20th, when it hit a nine-month high of 284, closed the day at 257, and it was low as 254 till it rallied at the end of the day. So, and this occurs just as the Chinese economy is starting to recover, with PMI greater than 50 since November. It had been less than 50. That's the difference between growth and shrinkage of an economy. We had the phase one trade deal. So China was just starting to emerge from what some people thought was a recession, but showing a little bit of strength. So it is of concern in that regard.
And Chile, Mickey, as you know, is the world's biggest copper producing country. Chile today coming out, according to a Bloomberg report, and basically saying that investors may be overestimating the impact that this virus will have on metal demand. Do you think that's a correct statement?
Well, I think all markets do that. They exacerbate situations, exaggerate hyperbole. You know, if you have specs coming into the market, either on the upside or the downside, long or short. You know, it's interesting in the fact that the hedge funds and the money managers, which have been net short copper all last year, turned net long in December and even into last week. I think that's no doubt going to be reversed. The other thing's going on, it's the Chinese New Year. We're right in the middle of the year of the rat. Maybe this thing was transmitted. But, I mean, these wet markets where this thing has been traced to in Wuhan province, they basically sell food, they sell seafood, they sell wildlife for human consumption. Mm. So who knows how it started, but the fact that it has occurred during the Chinese New Year, when historic there is low commodities demand, BDI is at a low since the commodities crash of in Q1 of 2016. But normally the market demand is down for copper, it's down for oil, it's down for iron ore. BDI goes lower every year during this time of year. So the timing is a bit fortuitous for those that want to go into a panic.
Okay, well, China imported more crude oil than any other country last year and accounted for about two-thirds of all new oil demand globally last year. How has the price of oil been reacting?
Well, it hasn't reacted good. Year-to-date, oil's down 15%. It hit something like an eight-nine-month high on the 3rd of January, 6305, today it closed at was as low as $51 and change at one point. As we speak now, it's trading a little less than $53. So it's been very, very hard hit too. You know, China now imports something on over 10.5 million barrels a day. Compared to that, to U.S. imports, which are somewhere in the low 6 million barrels a day. So certainly, it's going to affect Chinese economy in the best situation, I think, for 3 or 4 months.
Okay, we're going to take another break here, Mickey. When we come back, we're going to look at a metal which you would think would be receiving a lot of extra attention. Because it is a metal that investors often flock to during times like this, and that is gold. So we'll take a look at bullion right after this.
Okay, Rob.
He travels the globe in search of resource opportunities, and he's an in-demand speaker at investment conferences all around the world. To keep up with Mickey Fulp, also known as the Mercenary Geologist, sign up to follow him on Twitter at Mercenary Geo. You'll receive daily alerts on commodity prices, geological events, industry developments, and expert analysis directly from the field. Our 52,000 followers can't be wrong, so please join our growing Twitter crowd today at Mercenary Geo.
Danger, Bill Robinson, danger! Danger, Bill Robinson, danger!
What what are you up to, Mr. Fulp?
Well, Rob, you and I both old enough to remember a show in the mid-60s called Lost in Space.
Yes, indeed.
And that was the robot B9. I hated that show, but I just love that clip. But it kind of tells you what's going on in the market. These crises that end up, and this was a story oftentimes in that show Lost in Space, and I'm sure you can still see it on one of these oldies TV stations. Mm-hmm. Probably runs every night or something.
Oh, I'm sure
on one
it does,
or the other. But it just illustrates the way it's human nature. You know, markets are driven by fear and greed and panic. And both those greed and panic have one thing in common, and that's fear. In the greed case, the fear of missing the next big thing, and in the panic case, a fear of what's going to happen to markets.
Yeah, so how has that played out in the trade for gold? Because gold is a metal that people often flock to during times of fear.
Well, the gold price is up significantly over the last 7 or 10 days. We're looking at a low of 1516, a high of 5181. It's come off a bit today. Actually, metals after this World Health Organization emergency, whatever it was they declared, global emergency, global health emergency, right, or something like that. Metals actually popped up. Copper is down to 254, closed today at 257.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up with another, with something that's near and dear to our hearts, Mickey, and that is beer. We are both consumers of beer. We like an odd pint or two. And you've got a neat story about Corona.
Well, so the searches for Corona, and not specifically Corona beer, perhaps, but in some cases have gone up significantly. But people are searching on the internet for beer virus, Corona beer virus, and beer coronavirus. Millions and millions of searches. So I don't know if these people think that you're going to get the coronavirus by drinking a particular kind of beer, a Mexican beer that, to tell you the truth, I don't consider to be very good. It's mainly imported,
right,
into the United States and Canada. Very, very few Mexicans actually drink Corona beer, but their business is probably booming right now.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you did mention Corona beer, because I'm having some friends over this weekend, Mickey, and a buddy of mine texted me, is there anything that we can bring over? And I said, just don't bring over any Corona.
Well, pardon me, Rob. Yeah. I presume that's a Super Bowl party, and and I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
Okay, well, let's see how the big game unfolds. Good way to wrap it up, Mickey. Thanks very much for this, and we'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on KitCo.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.